Press record. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Lisa Lorraine Smith, the Chief Program Officer here at the network. And I think we do have someone new or some people who are new to this group. Is anyone here? Is this their first time? You can raise your hand. Yeah, I thought so. Mary Lou. So before we introduce you, I'm going to introduce Amy Mazur, who is the chair, co-chair of this group. Lisa August, who, well, Amy, I guess, will tell you, who was also the co-chair, isn't able to come today because she has an illness in her family that was unforeseen. So I know she was the one who was going to present, but Amy has it under control, and you guys will learn about that shortly. All I want to say is please change your name, right-click in your box, and put your community beside your name, rename yourself so we know where you are from. And potentially, Mary Lou, since this is your first time, you can introduce yourself, tell us your agency, and you know what your role is there. And then Amy will take it away. What do you say? Amy? Good?
Yeah, no, go for it, Mary Lou.
Hi, y'all. My name is Mary Lou Lemieux. I'm working at L'Agence Omet, and I'm an employment specialist and career advisor for young adults.
Terrific.
Welcome.
That's Montreal, in case anyone couldn't tell with Montreal. The Agence Omet.
Okay. Welcome, everybody. Thank you again for coming to our monthly Workforce Development Professionals Affinity Group for NJHSA. Happy to have everybody. Nice to see familiar faces. As Lisa said, I'm Amy Mazur, and I work out of JVS Boston, co-chairing this group for a couple of years. And really enjoying getting together with all of you across the country and even in other countries to talk about workforce development issues that we are experiencing through our work. So I think everybody, as Lisa said, we've all been to these meetings before, and I do like to take a couple of minutes to just give everybody a chance to say hello. So I'm going to actually do that, but let me tell you how we're going to work at our program today. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a prompt that everyone will go around and just say a word or two, because we don't have too much time to do that, the introduction. But I want to at least acknowledge everyone being here. And then, as Lisa said, Lisa August was going to present on assessments, sort of navigating assessments, and she, as Lisa also said, she had an unforeseen and sort of sudden family emergency that came up this morning, so she wasn't able to participate today. She does want to present on it. We'll do that at a later date, but I thought we could maybe grease the wheels, if that's the appropriate term, to just talk a little bit about this, and then we can bring some of our ideas to her, and that will maybe even help her when she's going to do her presentation. So I have some thoughts about that. So we'll talk about that. The other thing I want to spend a little bit of time on is talking about the conference coming up. And last month, when we did generate our brainstorming list of topics, I'm going to share that again and see if people want to maybe take responsibility for even possibly drafting a proposal or thinking about drafting a proposal for a workshop or a showcase, because it would be exciting to have representation with workforce development folks at that at the conference, which is in April, and Lisa can give us details of that at the end. And then the last thing I want to just mention is for many of you who are interested in the WIN initiative that David Bluestein and a bunch of scholars have been working on, I did share with everyone who expressed interest that we're going to be having our training in January. We have we are going to be meeting with NJHSA member agencies and talking about that particular initiative. So all of you who did express interest should have gotten that email from me. If you didn't, be in touch with me, and I'll make sure that you and Lisa, so that we can make sure we have you on the lists, and that we will keep you posted as that progresses. But we're excited to have a plan for getting together with everybody in January to take that on. Okay, so why don't we start? I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to actually, we're going to go around. Thank you, Lisa, for sharing that. Lisa put my email in the chat box. we're going to go around and I'm going to ask each of you to just say a word, your name and your agency, although many of you, thank you for putting it on your names. Just say a word about a description of how you're feeling about, you know, word or phrase about how you're feeling about the upcoming holiday. So let me give you a minute to think about that. So we're going to keep it personal. This is not about your work. This is not about your agency. This is about you. If you choose to speak of something less personal, I'm going to give you that option too. But I would like to just, you know, we'd like to get up close and personal a little bit while we're all gathered together to talk about these issues. So I can start. So I would say the word for me is probably, I would use the word contemplative around this time. I'm reflecting on a lot of things that have been going on. So that's me. Christy, why don't you go next?
Hey everyone, I'm Christy Quinn. I'm the Career Services Manager at JFCS in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm gonna go generic and just say excited. I'm excited to have something to celebrate. I'm excited from a personal perspective to watch how they're going to do the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Fun little fact about me, when I was in high school, I actually got to dance in the parade. I actually got to walk the entire parade route, and there was like a Spider-Man balloon right behind us, and it was humongous, and it was the coldest I have ever been in my life to this day. So I'm really excited just to have a relaxing couple days with family and chill and not think about work and watch the parade.
Great. Thanks. Elizabeth Enck.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Enck. I am workforce consultant with Jewish Family Services in Columbus, Ohio. I would say disappointed for Thanksgiving. My family's in Missouri. We're here, stricter lockdowns even. So it will be quiet kind of day. I'm happy for the time off, but just kind of disappointed about not being able to gather.
Yeah, thanks. Divya.
Hi, I'm Divya Das. I work with Amy at JVS Boston. I'm a career navigator and support adults through the CJP Anti-Poverty Initiative. And as far as Thanksgiving coming up, I'm feeling both excited and nervous. We have three adult children and a boyfriend coming home. And my husband and I made the decision that we do want them all to be home, just nervous about testing before they come and testing after they come and making sure everybody has a good time, so.
Thanks. Angelica.
Hi, everyone. I'm Angelica Sandoval. I'm VP of Career and Employment Services at JFS in Boca. And my word would be extremely frustrated. Oh, that's two words, I'm sorry, frustrated. Back it up, one word. I'm frustrated. We had plans that we had created between my siblings and an uncle to travel. And of course, those plans now are off the table. So unfortunately, because my sister's in one state, my uncle's in another state, fortunately my brother is here in Florida, we're very spread apart. So we're not gonna get to spend the holiday together. So we recently just decided to scrap those plans a few days ago in light of everything going on. So I'm still feeling frustrated.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry about that. Thank you, Deborah.
All right. Deborah Silver from JVS Human Services in Southfield, Michigan, the Detroit area. Yeah, we're pretty. I don't know. We're on a pause, is what they called it, instead of a shelter in place or whatever. We're on something else these days, some version of that. So I'm appreciative, actually, that I'm able to do Thanksgiving with any of my family at all this year. I already have my mom and my son in town. And the four of us are gonna celebrate Thanksgiving at my daughter's. So it's gonna be much smaller. We're a bubble anyway. We were a family bubble. So we feel safe, but I'm appreciative that I can do anything beyond being in my house alone, actually, these days. The bar is really low at this time, so yeah, perfect, thanks.
Thank you. So I realized, I think the prompt was to, I asked you sort of how you're feeling about the holiday, And different countries celebrate the holiday. So I know we have Montreal represented here.
Right?
And things just shifted. Hold on. So I lost. Okay. Adina, there you are. Adina. Okay. So I think you have a holiday around this time, but it's a different holiday. It may be a different holiday than Thanksgiving, but you're next. So how are you feeling about the holiday or this time?
So our Thanksgiving is in October, so that passed already, but so I'll just think about the Christmas / Hanukkah holiday. And in that sense, well, first let me just introduce myself properly, actually, because I'm not usually part of this affinity group. I'm the manager of Sport and Employment Services at OMET in Montreal. So I'm usually part of the disability affinity group, but there's a couple of my colleagues, I believe, who usually take part in this group that are otherwise occupied. So also I thought it was going to be interesting just to poke my head in. So hello. That being said, thinking about the upcoming Christmas and Hanukkah period of time, I feel mixed, which it sounds like I'm a little bit on the fence, but that is how I indeed feel. I'm happy. I also have a son who's away at university in another province, but I'm excited to see him. I haven't seen him since August when the school year began, but I'm also quite terrified because there's not a lot of cases in the small town where he is. So he's, you know, gathering socially with other people. And in Ontario right now, you can't get tested for COVID unless you have symptoms. And if he says he has symptoms, it's going to impact the job he has there. So he's going to come here and have to go right into isolation and get tested and not come out of his room until we get the results. And plus, I'm disappointed not to be able to spend the holiday period with loved ones and, you know, see the delight on my nieces and nephews' faces when they open their presents and stuff. It's going to be a different kind of holiday, but yet I'm grateful to be working and healthy, and, you know, that's how I feel, mixed.
Good, thanks. Mary Lou, go ahead. Do you want to share?
Yeah, I could say that I'm feeling maybe disconnected because I'm not ready for holiday yet. I mean, I'm far away from my family since I'm not currently in Quebec right now, so I really feel like it's really far away, and I'm not there yet. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Great. Carolyn.
Hi, I'm Carolyn Shoemaker. I work at JVS Boston. I work on the anti-poverty initiative. I'm a career coach or career navigator. I think for me, it's a piece missing. Last year, I think we had a dozen people, including my daughter and her now fiance and his family. And she works in a hospital, so we're not going to be able to get together with her or her fiance who teaches school. So also is, you know, interacting with a lot of people, although with a lot of PPE. So it's going to be me, my husband, and my son. And it just feels like there's a big piece missing. So that's kind of where I am.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Jay.
Good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, depending upon where you are. I'm Jay Soloway, and I'm the Director of Resource and Donor Relations at JVS SoCal here in the greater Los Angeles area. And I think I've been debating at the time. I don't want to put everyone in a bad mood, but I keep going back and forth between wistful and melancholy. Typically, Thanksgiving has been a pretty small affair in my family. It's just my partner and myself. We met in Palm Springs. It's going to be 17 years ago, and we've spent every Thanksgiving in Palm Springs since then until this time. And it reminds me of other things that my partner and I enjoy doing. We haven't been to a restaurant in over 8 months. We haven't traveled at all. I'm a big fan of performing arts. Of course, I haven't been able to look at any of that except on a screen. And so I look forward and will be thankful for the time when some of these activities that we were able to do in the past, we can once again do heading forward.
Thanks. Thank you. Elise.
Hi, I'm Elise Prezant, and I'm with Jewish Family Service in Somerville, New Jersey. That's central New Jersey area. And I'm confused at this point because my family, my brothers and my parents all live in New Jersey, but we're still not sure yet what we're doing. So it'll be interesting to see.
Okay. Thanks. Jennifer, can you...
Hi, Jennifer Kraffel. I am with JCFS Chicago. And I am actually looking forward to the holiday. It won't be that different for us actually this year, but I'm excited.
Good. Great. Nellie, welcome. I noticed you, Jake, I'll get you in a minute, but Nellie, I noticed you came on. I don't know if you know what we're doing, but the prompt is to just ask you what your feelings are around the holiday and share with us where you're calling from too. And that's just let us know briefly what your general feelings are.
Yeah, so I'm from Jewish Family Services of Silicon Valley, and we're located in the Santa Clara County of California. We just went to the purple tier level. We have different tier levels here, which purple is kind of one of the worst levels right now. So they just shut down all our indoor dining. And limiting a lot of indoor activities. We're no longer able to go into the office at all unless we have to pick up something. For me, fortunately or unfortunately, my whole family lives with me. I have two grown daughters that were boomerang college graduates that came home because the Bay Area is so expensive. So we're all working from home. We're all in our bedrooms working from home. So we'll be able to have Thanksgiving together since we're, you know, the same household. But so I'm grateful for that. It's just a lot of fatigue. I feel a lot of fatigue right now, a lot of the COVID fatigue. You know, sometimes you go out and you think you're going to be able to go shopping or do something and you get there and the store is closed or something's gone out of business. So all that uncertainty is pretty challenging to kind of get through the holidays, but I'm just trying to focus on all the positive things and things I'm grateful for.
Good. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Okay, Jake, you're up. What's your,
Hi, everybody. I'm Jake Sugarman. I work at JVS Boston with my colleagues, Amy, Carolyn, and Divya. We're actually all on the same team. So excited to be here. My word is hungry. I love Thanksgiving. Granted, this is going to be a very different one. It's going to be very small with just my parents and my husband and I. Depending on how our COVID tests come back early next week, we're going to get a test just to be safe. Since my parents are older, I want to keep them safe, but, I think it's going to be great regardless. We'll either get together or we'll Zoom, and knowing my mother, she'll probably send food our way if we end up having the Zoom. So we shall see.
Thanks. Sandra, welcome back. You can, you can give us a prompt, what's going on for you for the holiday.
I'd say the word is mixed, which is what I heard from a lot of people. You know, I'm happy to be healthy and that our immediate family is healthy. And at least I think I'm going to have one of my kids with us. So I'm happy about that. And, you know, the fact that Lord and Taylor is closing is really sad. So I needed to say that as well.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, Lisa, you want to round us out?
My word is apprehensive because I am driving my 93-year-old aunt down to Florida to visit she goes there, you know, for the winter, and she wants her car there. And her husband just died after 70 years. I'm telling you, probably more than you want to know. And she hasn't been able to go for 2 years. So I called this morning and I said, I don't think we should go because we're going to be on the road for two nights. She said, I'm going, you know, that's it. So that's, I'm a little apprehensive about that, but That's what's happening.
All right. Well, thank you all for doing that, because I did want to do exactly what you all did, which was really sort of demonstrate all the different feelings and reactions and emotions and that we're all going through as we do our work every day. So we don't want to forget about that. It plays a role in how we do. So thank you for sharing with everybody. Okay. So as I had said, this was going to be a presentation about assessments. And I do think Lisa has had an extensive plan with it. But what I thought we could do in support of her for a future presentation that may be more in depth is talk a little bit about two things. One, any assessments that you use now that you like and want to sort of share, any assessments that you've begun to use since COVID, that you like and want to share. So any that you use prior to and like and want to share, or any that you would like to know about that maybe someone else on the call has used before. And I'm going to make the term assessment fairly broad here, because let me frame my little piece on assessment, which is any sort of opportunity that you provide for the client that allows them to do some self-reflection. I'm going to make it broad. And we're talking about career self-reflection, okay? So we're going to keep it in the context of workforce and career. So any type of activity or engagement that you have with the client that allows them to do that inward self-reflection is what I'm going to suggest that people share any information about. So I'm really asking us all to sort of list what it is you might use, now, before, since, anything like that, any that you want to possibly learn about. And also, it just went out of my head. It'll come back. But basically, let's talk about those. Let's name those. I'm going to keep track of them. I'm not going to do what we did last time where we had the sheet up, because then we can't see each other. So this lets us see each other. And I'll just keep track, and then I'll be able to share any information with Lisa, and we can sort of take it up next time if we want to continue the conversation. But I'm also going to say that because it's a small group, and I think if all of you have the same sort of Zoom mechanism I do, everybody can see everybody if you choose to turn your cameras on, so we can all see each other. So all you have to do is kind of raise your hand at this point. Jake is our team leader, and when we have our Zoom meetings, we sometimes do, yes, we do use the little oh no, that's on Teams. Never mind. We don't have the hand on this.
Yeah, you do. Reactions.
Oh, that's right. We do have that. We do have that.
If you go to reactions.
That's right. You raise your hand.
I don't know if you can raise your hand. I don't see it, but
it's in the chat. Oh, anyway. All right. Never mind. We're not going to worry about that.
Listen, what I wanted to say is that anyone can share their screen if they want to with the NJHSA Zoom. So let's say Elise has some sort of assessment she thinks might be interesting. If you put it up on your screen now, you can then share it when you speak. So I just want to make sure.
Okay, great. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's good. Okay. So I think that was what I wanted to say. So let's just let, you know, people can sort of volunteer and talk about or voice any frustrations. Oh yeah, that was the other thing I want to talk about, is naming the assessments that you use or want to use, and then any sort of reactions or frustrations given the time we're in now. Like, what are you finding different about this current time that we're in terms of how you're using the assessments or not using them? So I'm going to open it up. And if it looked like somebody had their hand up. Yes, Deborah, go ahead.
Unmute there. Yeah. Okay, so I'm gonna run you through the assessments we use. And I'm gonna, as I talk about them, I'm gonna talk about what we did before and now. So for skills, we're using the skill scan, if any of you are familiar with that. Right now we're using the skill scan Express. It's an online product. They take an assessment online and they get their skill results. And it matches those skills skills also to different careers. So it shows transferable skills, even though like you might have good communication skills, it'll show how you can use those in business and in a humanitarian occupation. So it goes across industries. Previously, we used the SkillScan card sort, which we did with our clients in our office. That was our very favorite. We loved it. We've used it a lot. We've gone to this online version. It's okay. You know, it'll do. It's not the same. It's just not the same at all. And because it's missing the interactive factor, where they start sorting the cards and we know they might have used some of these skills. And so if they put it, initially they sort them into, when you're sorting them, competent or not competent. And if they put in the not competent pile, but they've been doing it in a career, we'll call them out on that. And we'll talk about why they're placing it where they're placing it. So we do that. We do use a strength checklist. So it's in, it's a nice contemplative reflective activity looking at strengths. It's just a checklist, and we talk through that. For interests, we're usually using the strong interest inventory. Occasionally, we'll use the CAI, and we have two versions of it, a vocational version and that which lists more careers that require very little additional school post-secondary. And then we use the regular version of that too. We use the MBTI typically for personal style. And a couple of us are trained in True Colors. So we will use it individually. Primarily, we use that for groups at JVS, work teams, and that kind of thing. We've actually gotten really proficient at doing it virtually. Which is, boy, did that exceed my expectations. I always, the fun part of True Colors is it's really interactive and you do really fun activities. You can actually do those same ones virtually using breakouts. And then abilities, we use Career Scope and the Raven often with it, but that we're not using at all. We don't have a virtual version of it. So if we're giving the career scope, we're only giving the career scope for abilities, and it matches abilities to interests and gives you career matches. And last of all, for values, we used to use the Nodel value cards. Mm-hmm. Again, an activity we loved. So we've switched over to doing a career values checklist. And we're also using something called the calling card sort, and which is also cards. Again, it's more big picture. It's more about passion, or they call it callings in this. But there is a version we're able to do. It's virtual, meaning it's like a checklist kind of thing. They have to identify how these values as to whether they're important or not important, and then they select their 8 most important values. And then we talk about whether the careers they're considering are likely to fulfill those values. And we do the calling cards right at the end of our career counseling process. And it's a product, if you've never done the calling cards, Richard Leiter is the person that created them. He's written a bunch of books and he has these really wonderful calling cards. So that's what we're doing. I think one of our biggest frustrations has to do with technology. Teams lately doesn't want to share anything. Like, you want to share your screen? Oh no, it's not going to do that. So a lot of us have switched over now to using Zoom because the sharing capacity is much better on that. And just crazy technology things with our clients, you know, we'll be trying to share their assessment result with them, and they're trying to do the session on their little iPhone. And, you know, how do they see that? So those kind of things. So they'll be sitting in their car trying to do it. And even though we've told them to be home on a computer, and so that kind of stuff, and really screen sharing has been our biggest issue, if I was to say anything. So, and missing seeing people in person. I mean, I think the whole process is more effective in person. But I'll tell you what, virtual way exceeded what I thought it was capable of doing. It's been really very good. Not quite the same, but not bad.
Okay.
Right. People come to virtual a lot more than they come to in person is what I've heard. Like it's a lot easier to...
It's easier to schedule. Yeah, Lisa, it is easier to schedule. It's easier for them to fit into their day. And honestly, what choice do we have right now anyway? So for some of the clients, it was a nice way to fill their time too during this very isolated time. They didn't want to end career counseling because this was a person to talk to during their
day. I just have a quick question. And I asked Amy if I could ask it. There were a lot of assessments that Deborah was talking about. Is that what everyone does? I mean, is that what most of our agencies do? That many? I mean, that seemed, okay, so I'm not completely far afield. There was a lot, you know, yeah. If you wrote them all in a list, it would be like a page long. It's amazing. We'd like to know what the-
So what I gave you was alternatives. Like we wouldn't give all the interest assessments or all the style assessments.
But this is just it would have been all of what you have.
Okay. Yeah, we have a menu. We have an array that we're able to select from depending upon the level of the client. But we usually see people for like 8 to 10 sessions. So we can do a lot of assessments. We always do skills, strengths, interests, personal style, and values. Something in those 5 areas usually. Abilities, not always.
Okay.
Great. So thank you both, Deborah, for sharing all that, and Lisa for asking the question, because I think you led us off in a really good way, Deborah, because sort of to Lisa's point, people have some exposure to some of them, no exposure to some of them, and mixed exposure, whatever the other piece I missed is, right? So many of you may have heard of the ones that Deborah mentioned. Many of you may have never heard of any of them, or some of you have heard of some of them. So as I said, I'm going to keep a list and let everybody know what has been mentioned. And Deborah also did a good job of listing a couple of the frustrations. So I'm going to be keeping a list of that too, sort of the frustrations and then some of the assessments. So we heard about skills, we heard about interests, we heard about values, we heard about personality style, we heard about abilities, we heard about a lot of the categories, values, she covered a lot of ground here. If other people want to chime in with regard to, yes, we use that one, or we use actually a variation, or we have another category, let's fill that in too. But Lisa Smith, you're working with a lot of professionals here who have a lot of exposure to a lot of assessments. So these are not all going to be new to everybody, and some will be. So just to let you know, and I'd be curious also to hear from people from OMETS, you know, if you're resonating with these or if these are not used in the experience that you have, but you can chime in whenever you're ready. Okay, so is there anybody else who'd like to add or comment? Oh, we had some, let me look at the chat here. It says, do you charge for assessments? Deborah, do you want to respond to that? Actually, if so,
I did in the chat, but we're very subsidized at JVS by our Federation United Way. So we see people on a sliding scale fee basis, and the lowest fee we charge is $10 a session. And we don't charge extra for the assessments. They're just part of the process. So the lowest someone could pay is $10 a session.
That's helpful. Do you have what's your high end? What's your sort of like?
Our high end, is $100 a session.
Okay.
Yeah, we have people towards that high end here and there. I always feel like I have to work harder or something if they're paying $100 a session. I feel like I have to do more or something. But yeah, most of our clients are paying at the lower end.
Okay.
10, I think most 15, of everyone's 20. Clients are paying at the lower end, correct? And Angelica, are yours?
Our clients don't pay.
At all. Okay, so they're really at the lower end. What about
exactly,
LA?
Yeah. You can't get lower than free, but we do have an assessment that we use and we do charge for that assessment, but it's a little bit different than your traditional assessment.
Do you want to take a minute to talk about it, Angelica?
Sure. We actually just provided it to one client today. The assessment was created by another career counselor and scientist, and so she white labels it specifically for Career and Employment Services in Boca. But what that assessment does is it captures more so work values, work styles to help somebody determine company culture, size of the company, and adequate fit more so than specific job titles. And we use that with certain clients because a lot of our clients come to us and then they come to us again and again and again because of a variety of different reasons. We have a lot of clients obviously that have some mental health issues. But a lot of times what we're finding is that the fit of the organization wasn't good in the first place. And some people don't thrive in certain company cultures. So this assessment helps them actually look at culture and what they value and what's important to them and what values that are important to them are out of alignment that they need to focus on as they're considering different positions and organizations. Yes, I did have a baby. Thank you, Lisa.
Just as we're seeing her, I said, you know, oh, we haven't seen Angelica in a long time. And I remember her telling us that she was taking maternity leave. So, congratulations.
Thank you.
And welcome back.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's right. That's fine. So yeah, congratulations. Angelica, you did talk about, we had another assessment group a while ago and you mentioned this white labeled assessment. And I think you shared the information back then. Is that something you would be willing to share again?
Sure. I can do that.
Her contact information. I think it was, and then a link to her. Yeah. So that's great.
I'm happy to share it again. I just have to pull it up.
You know, I may actually have it. I may still have it. So don't search too hard for that. I think I know where it is. And I'll put it on the list. I'll make sure it gets on the list. But you're happy with that assessment.
We are. And we do use some other free assessments that are similar to the Holland Code and some of your more traditional ones that actually spit out job titles. I don't know that that's always helpful for our clients because I think that they look at those job titles and they become overwhelmed. And so even though they're meeting with us on an individual basis and we're trying to help them suss out the different options and what would make sense, a large majority of our clients are middle-aged to more mature employees. And so a lot of the jobs require additional education or training. And those are things that our folks are just not willing to do at this point in their career and stage of life. So we find that the other assessment sometimes is more valuable for our candidates than just, you know, a list of job titles.
So that's good. So you're differentiating sort of for, you know, what assessments will work more appropriately with different clients.
Right, based on their needs.
Yeah, so that's an important thing too. We have to think about that. Mm-hmm. Great, okay. Anybody else want to share or respond to any of that, what we've heard so far? Christy.
I'll go. I knew Deborah was going to wait for me to go anyways. And if you thought she had a lot of assessments a few years ago, we probably doubled or potentially tripled that. We used to have a lot of assessments. And since I've joined the team and we've kind of just worked internally to narrow that down to what we thought were the most useful, we actually have a fee-for-service career assessment program that we offer that is 5 assessments. It's some of the ones we've already talked about, so I'm not going to go into a huge detail. Myers-Briggs and Strong. We also do StrengthsFinder, and then we do a few more interest surveys to kind of be able to compare and contrast, remove any outliers. We do the Campbell Interest and Skills Survey, CISS, and the Jackson Vocational Interest Survey. So some of them, the way that they have their reports, and these are all done online. We actually did all of them online pre-COVID. The clients would come into our building and we would be there to, you know, help and troubleshoot and answer questions, but they're all done online. And so I'm really interested to learn more about some interactive ones, whether that's virtual or the magical day when we all go back to the office and actually see our clients, that would be great as well. But we kind of created this as a bit of a package. So you have the 5 assessments and then you have 2 sessions afterwards. The first one is to review the assessment results. And then the final one is to have kind of a career planning session. So what are the next steps? You've digested all this information about your assessment results. What next steps are there for you? And so far that's been working pretty well, surprisingly well during the pandemic. We still are doing okay with fee for service. We have a pretty good mix. I don't off the top of my head know the exact percentage of fee for service for grant right now because things are constantly shifting, but we still have a pretty good thing. Our career assessment program is $350. So again, that's all the assessments online plus the two appointments afterwards. And we found that that's actually a pretty comfortable price point for people right now. Now, of course, we do have people that cannot afford that, and we totally understand that the assessments, as stated, are not free, but we do work with them in other career exploration things. So we use things like My Next Move on ONET and some of those free assessments, and even just kind of writing, journaling prompts to think about things like values. So we want to be able to have, you know, some career exploration ideas for people that that can't afford the future. We do use two other assessments. One of the things in our career services department is that we do vocational evaluations for people with disabilities. So we do have a few other assessments that we use occasionally for those. Again, those would be like the CAI and also the LASI for people that are in high school or college and looking for studying things very much related to post-secondary education and education in general. So those are all the ones that we use right now, which again is a very pared down list from what we used to use. If you name an assessment, we probably did it at some point in our history. Ones that I am thinking about as we're kind of all adapting, we're looking at creating a plan to evaluate our assessments, whether that's annually, every 2 years, just to make sure that, you know, we're still working on things that are evidence-based. You know, I wouldn't say trendy in a negative way, but what's new in a way that we think could be interesting for clients. One that I would like to learn more about, and I'm curious if anyone here does it, is emotional intelligence, because I think that that is something that ties into a lot of things. We're doing a lot of wraparound services for those of you who are also career and family services or human services. You know, you're probably seeing that too. So I think an emotional intelligence would be something that would benefit a lot of our clients because we're all struggling in a lot of different ways. And I think especially adapting to interviewing and working remotely and all of those things. I think that's about all I have from our agency.
Okay, thank you. Divya, go ahead.
I was just going to say before Divya, sorry. I just going to say about emotional intelligence. How many of you all have taken an emotional intelligence assessment?
Yeah, I was going to say there's a book, and I don't have, I'll send it in the chat later on. There is a book, IQ, I can't remember who it's written by, but it's pretty popular. And then you take the assessment, it might be $15, you do it online, and you get the results. And it's really quite good, actually. So I'll... Yeah,
I took one a long time, well, it was several years ago. My predecessor, we did it as a staff exercise, and then had some really interesting conversations. He had us all watch the movie Drumline. I don't know if you remember that movie about the college drum kit. Yeah. So we were all like, yeah, I get to watch Drumline. Okay. But it was, we took a lot of scenarios from that movie and used it as a way to talk about emotional intelligence. And it was a great staff exercise. It really helped us understand each other well. So I'd like to kind of look at that more for clients too, because I think especially when you think about like recent college grads that might still be living at home, I'm sure that emotional intelligence plays a lot into, you know, their journeys as well.
It's really great for interviewing too, with some of the behavioral interview questions. I'm going to grab it
my bookshelf
and I'll enter
it. Yeah, that'd be great. Well, and it also made me think of what Angelica said regarding like culture, like work fit and things like that, like looking at company cultures. I think that emotional intelligence kind of comes.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea to talk about or to train on or to provide. Anyway,
yeah.
So Divya just left, and I know she was going to talk. And you had asked someone in OMETS or Montreal to talk. Did anyone talk about what they're doing in Montreal? We sort of got sidetracked.
We wrote it in the chat, just that we use
Okie dokie. I can't see anything without my glasses.
Oh, no problem. We just wrote that we also use a strong interest inventory and the MBTI.
Okay.
And let me go back also to a couple of other things that people have said, just to make sure everybody's either on the same page or if they have questions. So also in the chat, we have Sandra who did share with us, if any of you are familiar with a new LinkedIn tool that does, Sandra, do you want to mention it? Have you used it or did you just know about it?
The truth is, I just read about it last week, and I haven't had a had time enough really to drill in yet to give any real information on it. But it's an interesting concept, and I think it may have evolved out of COVID and trying to get people like, you know, airline pilots or such people who can't find where to go right now, and it may just give them other opportunities. But I haven't dug in enough yet. But it might be interesting to look at.
Yeah, I would recommend doing that. We also were talking about it a little bit in Boston, and I checked it out a little bit in the same thing. So you could play with it yourself, and you can see what kinds of things come up when you have it. It's based on obviously a lot of the LinkedIn profiles. They're looking for common skills that are listed, and then they're going to generate new options based on what you put in. So it's worth checking out. So I'll make sure that one is in the is on the list too, just to see what you think. But I want to go back because we heard some acronyms, and I just want to make sure everybody, if you don't know about them, most of us who are career counselors or who have been doing assessment know about, Holland-based assessments, right? Is that fair to say? People know what, John Holland's work with RIASEC? Does that sound familiar to people? Okay, so there are a lot of Holland-based instruments that were mentioned, the STRONG, the CAI, the CISS. There's many more that are Holland-based instruments. So that's a group of instruments that are based on a particular theory from which a lot of those assessments have been are distributed. So it sounds like people are using variations of those. They're the Nodel value cards. Richard Nodel, Dick Nodel, is someone who's been in the career development world for a long time, and he has created these a number of different kinds of cards that you can use to sort through different interests or values or even leisure activities, some of those kinds of things. He has that information available. So there's a whole set of cards with Dick Nodel. Richard Leiter, Deborah mentioned. Is the one that's another theorist who did the calling cards that came out of his work. True Colors, that is, do you want to say a word about that, Deborah?
So True Colors is, Don Lowry is the person that created True Colors. You have to be certified as a True Colors facilitator. It's a 2.5-day training that you go through to be able to use True Colors with groups or individuals. It's really more designed to use with a group though. And they set up the way you facilitate a True Colors workshop, which an individual personal success workshop takes 2.5 hours. And I've done it with lots of work teams. I just did it with a work team at JVS on Friday that was struggling. They were having style conflicts. So the idea is to make people aware of their style differences and create more unity between styles instead of people butting heads so much or having communication gaps. It's a wonderful tool. I love it. It's really hands-on. It's fun, it's experiential, you do lots of breakouts, clarifying your values with people similar to yourself. It's very empowering. I can't really say enough good things about True Colors. I got trained in this, I've been in the field for a long time, so I want to say I got trained in this a solid 20 years ago, and I've been using it since then. So it's been used in lots of different settings. The last training I went to, they had us retrain not so long ago, like a refresher. There were police officers there that were using it in their police departments, hospital administrators that were using it in hospitals. It was quite popular for a while in the schools, as you can imagine, between teachers or teachers understanding their students. So. And I've used it with high schoolers. I've gone into some of our local Jewish day schools and done it with high school students. So, you can Google it, True Colors, and True Colors International. They do trainings. Now all the trainings are virtual, of course, but normally they do them in person. throughout the country.
Deborah, I also was trained in True Colors a while back.
Yeah.
And the only thing that I would say is I remember it being great with groups, but I'm not sure of the value in using it with individuals. Do you find it there was value in using it one-on-one with people?
Yeah, I've done it one-on-one. If I'm working with sometimes I'm working with somebody that's a high school senior or a freshman in college, where I feel like the Myers-Briggs goes a little over their head. You know, it's just right. So cognitive, and they just don't have enough experience to even kind of integrate that information. So I'll do True Colors with them instead. Interesting. What they're not doing, I'm only spending an hour doing it with them. So right. I'm not doing the full thing. I can't do values and frustrations. Instead, I show them lists. I've made copies. I've pictures of some previous group's list, mm-hmm. and I show that and say, does this sound like you, you know, based on your preferences? So I do a shortened version of it.
Right. Got it.
Okay. Yeah, it's not nearly as powerful. It's really designed for groups, but it's not bad. It's, for doing a little style awareness with someone that's a little bit on the younger end of who we see.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. I just want to apologize in advance, and I'm going to have to go. I have a staff meeting I'm leading in 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, thank you for all your contributions.
Deborah. Hey, I wish I could stay on. I'm like, I would love hearing about all these topics.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll catch you up.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Divya, did we catch what you wanted to say, or were you responding?
I actually just responded in the chat. I couldn't find the book on my bookshelf. It's somewhere else, but it's Emotional Intelligence 2.0 by Travis Bradbury or something, and it's very popular. The book is maybe $15, and then you can do the assessment for about $10. And you can just provide, am I muted? No. You can just provide that link to clients, and they get printout, a report.
Great. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Any other comments, thoughts, reactions, additions, anything people want to add with regard to that? I have a couple of thoughts too, but I just want to make sure if other people want to add anything or get clarification about anything that they've heard so far. Can I just see a show of hands? And I know some of you are not showing us your faces, but, or maybe you can put it in the chat. How many of you have as your major part of what you do, the assessment piece? How many of you would say that's a pretty significant part of what you do with clients? So half and half. Okay.
Had a lot of the assessments, clearly, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. And for the others of you, what would you say the primary kind of focus of your work would be? Is it the job search part? Is it sort of overcoming obstacles? What would you say if you had to describe? It's not the assessment part, but it's what would you say? And you can put it in the chat, or you can say it by raising your hand, or what are you doing if you're not doing assessment? Angelica?
I think it's the education of the clients and explaining to them how you can successfully navigate the job market these days, how to present yourself appropriately. We have a job developer on staff who then takes over and helps with actually researching jobs and putting them in the right direction. But a lot of what myself and my career strategists do is really helping them address barriers, making decisions as to how to proceed, making sure that they're presenting themselves in the best light possible, making sure that they have a really good resume that accurately describes their experience and their skill sets. So a lot of the educational piece and the coaching and counseling piece is what we do the most with our clients.
Okay. All right.
And you have that great Women to Work program, right?
It's called Comeback Career, although we haven't run it since COVID. We've really been doing the other main program, which is Steps to Success. We've been seeing a good turnout overall for our workshops now that we're doing everything virtually, but we haven't actually rolled out Comeback Career in quite a while because of COVID and having to find the time just to now do those separate workshops apart from Steps to Success.
Okay, so other people were saying, if you notice in the chat, people were saying what they do is they job search assistance, interviewing coaching, CV help. Most people are doing the job search because of the survival mode. Nellie was saying they're not really looking at the assessments, they're looking at the job search because of the circumstances. Career readiness, so that's the interviewing and networking, confidence building, dislocated workers, we offer weekly workshops, et cetera. So you all can see these, yes, everybody can see okay. Job search, yeah, so okay, so just to sort of show that variation that people do are doing kind of both elements of that in their work. Assessments are important, and we're talking about that today, but there are lots of other pieces that people are doing as well in some capacity. Okay. So I wanted to offer one assessment that I do with clients, and it's a pencil and paper kind of an assessment that I do, and it's a little different in terms of how I approach it with the clients. And so what I do is I have them think about peak experiences. It's a peak experience exercise. It's kind of my go-to exercise. And I just have them reflect. So this can be done by anybody at any point and no charge. You can just think about high points in your life. And what I'm trying to get at is to get them a little bit outside of some of the constraints that the work setting can cause, because we have a lot of messages about what we're supposed to do or supposed to be. And so what I'm trying to have them do is to just open up a certain kind of emotional energy around who they are fundamentally by thinking about high points in their own lives. And so by doing that, what my experience has been with this exercise, that basically what I'm doing is I'm opening up possibilities, because they're creating that environment, sort of the positive psychology kind of stuff, which is not where this comes from. But basically what you're doing, instead of going into the kind of assessment process or the reflection process where you're internally having to think about these things, what I'm trying to do is create a condition where they are open to possibilities by having this positive reaction to their own peak experiences. So I'm having them reflect on their own peak experiences, whatever they might be, when they were 6, 16, 26, 46, whatever, whether it's work or not, in some capacity in their lives, and by having a number of these peak experiences, that generative possibility kind of mindset is what allows them to then generate more possibilities. So it has been an effective assessment. I found it to be an effective assessment to set the stage for even thinking about more possibilities. And it doesn't take very long, and it's good to do in terms of job search options, because people tend to close things off, and I'm trying to help them open up things. So it's an opening up kind of an assessment. I found it to be positive. So I'll share that with everyone too. I'll share that peak experiences. Okay. So thank you, and I'll share this list with Lisa and see what she has in store for us when she comes back and presents on her topic. I wanted to spend the remainder of our time talking a little bit about the conference. So if people want to talk about this, some of you were on the call last month where we generated these ideas of possible topics, and I am going to screen share. But before we do that, I just want to give Lisa a chance to talk to us about kind of what you're thinking or how you want to tell us or encourage us, and I'll do the same thing around letting people know how important it is to be a voice at the conference.
So Amy is correct, right? The conference, really, we want it to be a blend of all the Jewish Human Service agencies in this network, right? Because it was a merger between IAJVS, which is Jewish Vocational Services, and then Jewish Family Service Agencies. And now we have even other kinds of agencies in the network, like residential services and services for, you know, adoption services, all sorts of different agencies. But we really want there to be a big presence of Jewish Vocational Service programming and offerings, because we want all of you to know how important you are to the network. So we're having a designated workforce development program showcase. So, you know, if anyone has any programs that they're running, like you did the Comeback Career last year in our conference, you know, and Angelica, it's so hard for me to say it. Angelica, that's correct, Angelica. And she just talked about that Dress for Success, or I don't even know what she called it, but I'm like going, maybe that's a program you want to showcase that other people could replicate. So we really want you all to think about the things that you're doing in your communities that you think that other agencies could benefit from hearing about. Maybe they could also replicate them in their own communities. So, you know, that's what I want to give a big plug for, because I want this to be successful. And if you have any kind of workshop that you want to present in the traditional format, which is 75 minutes, that's also good. You can do it by yourself or with another agency, like maybe Columbus and JVS Boston want to partner together to talk about something that they've heard about together on one of these meetings. And, you know, it's just an opportunity for you all to shine. And I want to make sure that you know that we want you to. So that's my big plug. And the conference is April 19th to April 22nd. And we're going to, I think, do it so that agencies pay a certain amount and they can send, you know, up to 10 people, something like that. And it's virtual, so it's not like you're going anywhere, right? So it's, if you want to participate, you know, we're going to have some great plenaries. We're going to have really wonderful opportunities to network. I mean, we've got a lot of fun things going on. Gamification, which means you do this and you get a point and then you can win a gift card. I'm not sure all the details, but I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun. And I want you all to come. So think about what you could potentially present in the program showcase or a traditional workshop. And the program showcase is 5 slides, 8 minutes. And there you have it.
Yeah.
So is that a good plug?
Excellent. Excellent. Yes. So I wanna second that and just say, think of, you know, eight minutes, you know, we can, you know, 8 minutes, 5 slides. We can do that. And we have some really interesting programs going on, and we've heard about some of them here. So if you don't want to do that 75-minute work, you know, conference, workshop, then webinar, whatever it's going to be, this is an opportunity to highlight something. So let me just pull up, just to remind you all, hold on one sec, let me do this.
And there'll be an opportunity after the program showcase for people to go into a specific cyber room and talk directly with you. You know, it's really going to, we've hired not only the platform, but a production company. So everything's going to be pretty, you know, high end, I think. I hope.
Great. So can people see this?
Yes.
Okay. So here are some topics that were brought up last time. And even some of them are associated with people. So if you are thinking about any of these, we really want to encourage you to submit a proposal.
Right. I love this one, this virtual cocktails and conversation, Montreal. I don't know if any of you who are on the call were part of that. Stern is not any of you. But that seemed pretty interesting. And something that other agencies could do. They all seem interesting, but.
Right. That was an example of some of an employer engagement activity, right?
We're actually having it tonight.
And, oh my goodness. Well, yeah. We want to hear all about it.
Okay.
Program showcase.
Yeah, great. And let me just make sure that I scroll down so you can see some that are on the bottom too.
Right, the challenge of population served. That was, you know, we were going to hear from someone who was doing something with college students, I think.
Oh, right. Jason, I think, from Detroit, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, oh, right. Well, I'm going to do something on RISE. Good point. Glad I looked at this again.
Oh, okay, good. Again, I'll resend this. People receive this, but let's just see. Is there anybody here who is interested in possibly doing a presentation or a workshop or a what do you call it? Program showcase?
You can think about it.
We can talk about it as a team, maybe the group of us.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah,
we can. I think we have some really interesting programs going on in Boston that we can do. Carolyn,
that's the problem. You know, people feel so overwhelmed already with the amount of work that they have. It's hard to think, oh, can I really do this? But you would really just be presenting to your peers throughout the, you know, network, and about something that you've done, something that you're, you know, that you feel good about and successful in, because you'd be amazed at what people take away. I mean, just some of the things that you've written down, you know, someone's going to go and look at that LinkedIn, whatever it was. I wrote it down. I'm going to look at it. GitHub. I don't know what stands for. And that's important. You know, that changes you professionally, potentially, and your community and your agency. So that's what these affinity groups are all about. And that's what conferences are all about, to learn and to share. Knowledge.
All right, you got the idea. So we really encourage you to do this. And if you have any questions, or you get nervous about it, or you want some feedback, I'm happy to talk with anybody about it. It's a great opportunity, and it's kind of fun.
You can put it on your resumes.
There you go. Put it on your resume. Put it out there.
Okay. And this is an international conference too. So there you go.
Yeah. So think about it, and we'll bug you about it a few more times. But
we don't have that much more time.
No, that's true. The deadline's coming up. Okay. I think that's where I was going. The next time we're meeting on the 16th, so we have to meet in December. So our next meeting is December 16th, and we had scheduled that as an open forum, I believe, but because Lisa wasn't here today, we may continue this discussion and be able to build on it and talk more about
that. Or she can present at the program showcase.
She can do that. Other thoughts or questions or feedback for Lisa or myself today, or any question, you know, anything about the assessments people want to, I think we got a good start on this. Clearly it's a topic we could talk about a lot. And with some of the frustrations or some of the ways that it's changed now that we're all doing it virtually, because there is that interactive part that's really critical in the work we do. So that's always something that's kind of shifted. But if no other thoughts or questions, we can say everybody have a good holiday with whatever emotion you shared with us all and story. And we look forward to seeing you next month.
Terrific. Bye, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
You too.
Bye, Amy. Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Stay safe.